Bibles to Acts 16. As you're turning, I want to remind you that after service, we're having our high school senior fundraising. It's not too late, I suppose, to get in on that. It'll be a great time of fellowship. And I kept that in mind. We was having that fundraiser. I don't know if you remember the time the ladies were having a fundraiser after Sunday night service. I forgot all about it. And I got up and read my text from the Old Testament and announced my title. There's poison in the pot. And everyone starts laughing. And I forgot they were having a soup and sandwich fundraiser after church. Are you trying to tell us something, Pastor? Amen. One of the things I'll be challenging as a church to do in February in our week of prayer and fasting is during that week also to read the book of Acts. And I tell you, when you read the book of Acts, it can set your heart aflame again because it shows you the reality of God in our world. He does move supernaturally. Well, you know something tonight. God moves outside the box. Hallelujah. We put him in too small of packages. How many believes what I'm telling you? God moves outside the box. I'm not talking about weird. I'm not talking beyond the boundaries of this book here. I'm talking about he moves outside of the boundaries of expectation, the boundaries of the natural. Amen. Beyond the perimeters that man has set up, God moves outside of the box. I believe he wants to do that around here. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? We're in Acts 16. I'll be telling a little bit of the story. So for now, I'll just begin reading in verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city. Luke is writing about the missionary team there. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart, notice this, whose heart the Lord opened, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Verse 14 is our text. The description of Lydia here said that she was the one whose heart the Lord opened. I want to tell you that was the first of mighty things that began to happen in that city. Just one person allowed God to open her heart, and mighty things began to happen. I want to ask us tonight across this building, are you open? Are you open to what God wants to do in your life? Are you open to what God wants to do in the church? Are you open to it? Now, I think God would love to do something new in our hearts and our lives if we'd just allow him to open up our hearts to what he wants to do. Amen. Father, shut up our minds to the truth. May we have a growing awareness that you're on the move and you want to move. Oh God, help us to allow you to move in the way you desire to. Thank you for what we have experienced in this service, the people worshiping you, allowing your spirit to move. Now challenge us, Lord, from your word, in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm not real open to change. I'm really not. And it kind of gets worse the older you get. You just don't like things change. Especially if you get it in a good way. Why mess with it? Leave it. And that carries over to the furniture in the house. And I don't know how she does it, but my little wife gets over there sometimes and moves those couches and things, and I'll come in and the house is just rearranged. I tell her, I said, it's a good thing you weren't Helen Keller's mother, because she would have tripped and broke her neck and never became famous. Just don't like to change. It's hard to get used to something new. I mean, it's been a year and a half ago she decided to change the drawers in our dresser in our bedroom and put things in different drawers. And I still, a year and a half later, I opened the wrong drawer. And I just sat there, open drawer after drawer. I mean, just leave it in the same drawer. How many knows we're just not open sometime to things that are new? We get stuck in our ways. We get in a rut. You know, there's some folks in a spiritual rut. Amen. They're all boxed in, whether they're comfortable or not, and they're just not coming out of that. But I believe that God wants to do something new if we're open to it. I've been preaching that since the new year, and I'm not talking about something novel, something off the wall, something strange. When I say something new, I mean a fresh work of God. God doing what He does in a new way in our hearts and life. Now, if we read this story, God was going to do something new in Philippi of Macedonia. Something new in the heart of a woman called Lydia. You see, there's a lot that goes into this story. I mean, Paul, on his first missionary trip, had established these churches in Pamphylia and Cilicia, and he's going to go back and just check on those churches to see how they're doing. We made his circuit through those churches to check on them, and he said, you know, Just west of here, they don't have the gospel yet in Asia Minor. I think I'll go over to Asia Minor and share the gospel of Christ. And the Bible said, the Spirit said, no, don't go there. We had just been from the east, and he tried to head west, and the Spirit said no. So he said, great, I'll just go up north. And he started heading north, and he said, I'll just go right up there north to Bethania. And the Scripture said, the Spirit forbade him, don't go that way. Well, he's come from the east. He tried to go west. He can't go south. That's the ocean, Mediterranean Sea. He just tried to go north, and the Spirit said no. And so the only direction left was northwest. And he went there and came to a seaport city called Troas. And there in the night, he dreamed. He had the dream of the Macedonian man. Macedonia is across the water there into Europe, from Asia Minor across the water into Europe. And he has a vision of a Macedonian man. That's where Alexander the Great was from. And the Macedonian man is pleading with Paul and said, why don't you come and help us? And Paul woke up and told the missionary team, we've got to find a ship. We've got to get across the water. There's people over there that never heard the gospel. We've got to get the gospel to them. And they did that. They crossed the water, but they went through two or three cities there, and they couldn't find anybody that would receive them or anybody that was open to them. And then they come to a place called Philippi. And that's where Lydia happened to be on one of her business trips, and perhaps she even had a home there. But you know what Paul and his team had was something new. I mean, these were people steeped in idolatry, worshiping of idols. They were steeped in sin, and even the Jews were stuck in something of the past. But Paul came preaching something new. He came preaching about this God-man, this God in the flesh, Christ. And he preached this God-man had walked this earth, and that they had taken him and crucified him on a cross, and he had spilt his blood, and they had put him in a tomb. But on the third day, he had risen again, and that all who put their faith in him and confessed their sins would be forgiven and have everlasting life in heaven. That was new to that world. That was new to that city. That was new to those women. That was new to Lydia. God had something new for that country right there. Here comes Paul with that message. He's got something new to share. But when he got there, he found that not much was going on in the spiritual life of Philippi. You know, I'm not going to get too much in this, but because of her sins, the Jews have been scattered all across the world into captivity. And so there's little groups of Jews here and there. The Bible calls it the dispersion. You can read about it all through the Bible, and there it is again in James. And so there's these little pockets of Jews, but there wasn't even much going on in the world of the Jews there in Philippi. Oh yes, you could get idol worship, and you could have any kind of sin was going on, and there was darkness there, but there wasn't much spiritual that was happening, even amongst the Jews. How do you know not amongst the Jews? Because if you read the text closely, it appears that Luke and Paul and the missionary team get there, and they look for some place the Jews are meeting, and they look for a synagogue, and there's no synagogue, Brother Dale. And finally they decided, let's go check the river. Why the river? Well, you learn about that in Ezekiel. He said, when we were taken captive, we didn't have a place to worship. Our temple was gone. It was destroyed. We had nowhere to worship. And so he said, we went down by the river Chebar. I want you to know, even there, he found the Lord, because he said it was by the river Chebar that the Spirit came to me and God spoke to me. And so the Jews had learned in the captivity, if there wasn't a place to gather by the river. But why was there no synagogue? Here's the simple reason. It took at least 10 Jewish men to establish a Jewish synagogue. There wasn't enough spiritual going on in Philippi, Sister Branca. There wasn't even enough men interested, not even 10 men interested enough to start a synagogue. That was Paul's custom when he went to new territory, when he went to a new city. He found a synagogue, but there wasn't enough men interested in spiritual things even to start a synagogue. And so when they didn't have a synagogue, they reverted to their practice when they were in captivity, and they would go down to the river to meet and to pray. And so Paul said, let's try the river. And they got down there, not men, not 10 men, but they found a small band of women and Lydia amongst them that was down by the river praying. Amen. Thank God for the church that we have. But all across this land, there are churches that are dried up. Nothing left but a few women. Not enough men to serve God. Not enough young men to serve God, and not enough young ladies to serve God. But I'm telling you, the same is true for those churches as it was for Lydia and her small band of women. If you'll keep praying and let God open your hearts, He'll do something new. Glory to God. Amen. If they had that happen, think what would happen with this crowd if we had just opened up our hearts to something new and say, God, we're tired of the same old, same old. We want the Spirit of God to move in our midst. Hallelujah. And so he found the band of these women praying, and Paul began to preach. And as he preached, the Bible said that God opened Lydia's heart, and Lydia received the gospel, and great things began to happen. Because somebody's heart was open to what God wanted to do. Somebody allowed God to open their heart. I want to tell you tonight, we need to do that. Young people, we haven't begun to tap in what God wants to do. You can't even imagine what God wants to do. But you can let Him open your heart so He can do it in you and through you. Man, this service tonight has been charged. We ought to shout it. We did shout. But I'm telling you, it was here. But I'm telling you, God wants to do things we've never dreamed of. People driving by on the road. Amen. Feeling the pull of God. It's happened before. Feeling the pull of God. Pull in the parking lot. Come in right in the middle of the service. Walk the aisle. Give their heart and life. You say, oh, God, don't move that. He would if we'd open our hearts to it. Amen. Amen. And I just want to note a few things about an open heart. First of all, hearts can be open, or they can be closed. They're kind of like mouths. Hearts can be open, or they can be closed. Even this Greek word literally means to open completely, open thoroughly, open widely. I was trying to carry in the firewood bucket a few days ago, and the shoes, we were outdoors in the snow, and Andrew's snowsuit and whatever's piled up behind the door, and I'm out there calmly saying, "Well, someone please open the door for me." And finally got Andrew's attention, and he came and opened the door that much. And the wood bucket, it's this wide. And I kept saying, "Open it wider." Oh, no, "Open it wider, son." "Open it wider." Oh, that's what this word here in the Greek means. You open it as far as it can be open. Hallelujah. How many believes God would move? We just open up our hearts as wide as we could get them open. Oh, I loved it. When I've seen in services in the past, Brother Rose, when somebody got hungry for God, they lost their fear of man. They lost their pride. They lost their awareness of what was around them. And they threw back their head. And you could just tell they were opened as widely as possible to heaven, open to God, open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you hungry for that? Just open up as wide as you could be, that God might. Makes me always think in the spring of those little robins, you know, that just hatched out of the eggs, and here comes the mother with the worm, and you know what they do? They do this Greek word, they open. I mean, they're all mouth. I mean, they're open to what the mother has, the mother bird has. So I believe our hearts ought to be like that. I believe when the Spirit gets to moving, like He's moving tonight, our hearts just ought to open up to heaven. Oh, God, pour Yourself through me. Move it. I'm open, God, to what You want to say. I'm open, God, to what You want to do. I'm open, God. I'm just open. Just do it, Lord, in my heart. The Lord opened her heart. In the New Testament, this word is used when Jesus opened the deaf ears, stuck His fingers in the man's ear, and said to the deaf, "Be open, be open." Amen. It's used when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus. Amen. Began to share the Scripture, got there to the table, broke the bread and prayed, and the Bible said their eyes were open, and they knew that it had been Jesus in their midst. Amen. Jesus went to the upper room where the disciples were hiding, and fear and discouragement showed Himself to them, proved He wasn't a spirit. Ate of the fish, and then the Bible said He opened the Scripture to the disciples. I mean, He opened their hearts to the truth of the Word. It says He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. I'm telling you, God can speak through the Word, but if our ears are not open, we will not hear it. Amen. God can try to show us the way and show us His power, but if our eyes are not open to it, we will not see it. And God can pour out His Spirit, but if our hearts are not open to it, we will not receive it. But I'm telling you, we can be open. We can hear. We can see. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I'm telling you, it's time that we have an open heart. Hallelujah. It's time we open up ourselves to heaven. And the question begs to be answered tonight. Is my heart open, or is my heart closed to what God wants to do? Amen. Then I want us to notice there are ways we can make our hearts opened to being open. In other words, God does the opening of the heart, but we can be open to His making us open. It's like I believe it was Oswald Chambers said. He said, "Oh Lord, when I'm not willing, help me to be willing to be made willing. And when my heart's not open, help me to be open to the Lord opening in my heart." How's that done? Well, I believe there's some keys in the text here. The Bible says in verse 13 that they went to pray. It was a place where prayer was wont to be made. Listen, church, I fervently believe this. That's why I believe that pre-service prayer meeting is so important. I believe prayer allows God to open our hearts. How many, you don't need to lift a hand, but how many can testify that when you've spent time in prayer, it's so easy for God to open your heart to what He wants to say and do. It wasn't just prayer that allowed her heart to be open. It was praise. The Bible said in verse 14 that Lydia, which worshiped God, and I know, I understand it when it says that Lydia, a Gentile woman, worshiped God, that means she was a proselyte. They literally called them God-fearers. It meant she worshiped God. She served Him with her life. But I have found you cannot truly worship God with your life without also having praise on your lips. And I think one of the reasons Lydia's heart was open is because she was a person that not only lived right, but she had a praise of God upon her lips. Have you noticed when we begin to praise God, our hearts become open to what He wants to do? There was prayer. There was praise. And either as a reason for the Lord opening her heart, or part of the way He opened her heart, amen, there was the preaching. The Lord opened her heart and she was attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. I know it's a matter of which comes first, the chicken or the egg. Does God open our hearts and then do we receive the word? Or is it a matter that even the word, if we'll listen to it, it can open our hearts? I believe we'll pray, our hearts are open. I believe as we praise, our hearts are open. But I believe if our hearts are seeking Him, even just during the preaching of the word, something can begin to open up in our hearts and God can begin to move. Amen. Paul said, this is what made the difference, you Thessalonians. When I came and preached to you, you received it not as the word of man, but you received it as the word of God, which it in truth is. I'm telling you, the preaching can open our hearts and God can open our hearts to the preaching and it'll make a difference in our living. And so there are ways we can make our heart open to being open. Then I want to point out that a closed heart can receive nothing from God. You know, I hate to see this, but I've seen literally people shut, close, and clamp their hearts to what God was trying to do in a service. Amen. I've seen it on the face. I'm sad to say, but I saw it this morning. When hearts are just, you can just watch them. Just like somebody shut their mouth. They just, their heart to what God wants to say. And to a closed heart will never receive anything from God. Amen. As one with a closed mouth can receive nothing into the body, one with a closed heart can receive nothing into the heart and the spiritual man. How many remembers when your kids were little, try to get them to take the medicine, that liquid medicine? What happened when you started towards their mouth that medicine? And they teach you these tricks that never quite work. Pinch their nose a little bit, hold their nose. They got to breathe sometime. And then when they open their mouth, stick it in. Yeah, it kind of works. It goes in, but it comes right back out. Kind of frustrating, isn't it? How many members? I wonder if God ever feels that way with people. Trying to get something into their heart and their life. And they just... Amen. Well, I don't guess I'll go there. But there are things He can do to make us want us to open up. We just need to open our hearts to the Lord. And then I want to point out that God's attempt to open our heart can be resisted. I know there's a long list, but I just want to mention a few things. Amen. You can resist God opening your heart by simply not paying attention. I have been in services. I don't ever try to target anyone as far as think, you know, who needs this or that. I don't do that. But as I've preached, I've seen God begin to target people. And they seem as if they have no idea that God is trying to speak to them because they're just really not listening. Amen. Kind of hard to listen when they're texting, isn't it? Oh, we don't have anyone here that does that during church, but I mean, I've seen God try to just, I mean, speak to them, but they're not. And then some, I mean, they never receive anything because they're always passing it on. Instead of opening up their heart and saying, "Thank you, Lord, I'll take that." Well, that's not for me. That's for them. This doesn't happen, does it? Really, it doesn't. But, you know, it has maybe happened. Folks, instead of opening up their own hearts to what God wants to speak to them, they're too busy passing it on to someone. Well, I know who I'm going to buy that CD for. God is speaking to us. God wants our hearts to be open. And then some folks really do begin to listen, but they begin to think, well, you know, if I open my heart to what God has, and if I receive what He's saying to me, look what I'm going to have to give up. Look what I'm going to have to quit. Well, look what I can't be involved in anymore. But I want to tell you something. If you'll open up your heart and let God move in it, you won't want that other stuff. Amen. And then the thing I want you to note is a heart open to the world is a heart closed to God. We cannot have a heart open to the things of the world and the things of God at the same time. I've watched people with their hearts set on the things of the world, and you can almost visibly see them reject the preached word of God. Amen. You can't be open to both. You know, the big clamor of the world is to be open-minded. You know, sad. And you have noticed, like I have, those that boast of how open-minded they are. They boast of their open-mindedness by accepting perversion and degradation and every weird thing. They're so open-minded they accept all of that. But when you start talking about righteousness and Christ, all of a sudden they're the most closed-minded people you've ever seen. They're not open to it. They're not open to it. And we, as believers who believe this book, the inspired of the Word of God, we're charged with being close-minded. I don't think that's correct. But could it be that they think that we're close-minded because we're open-hearted? Oh, hallelujah. The world thinks we're close-minded because we're open-hearted to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's when I'm close-minded to God that I'm open-hearted to the world. But it's when I'm open-hearted to God that I'm close-minded to the world. You know, sometimes I've wondered, it seems like folks are so open to the new things of the world and so close to the new things of God. But I believe the Lord wants to reverse that. You know, really it's the world that has the same old, same old. They just repackage it. But it's the same old, same old. I do know one thing, it's the same destruction in everything they have to offer. But oh, God's got something fresh from the throne if we open our hearts. And last of all, as in this story, an open heart is the precursor of a mighty move of God. What happened in this story? Lydia opened her heart. And the Bible says she believed, she accepted the things which were spoken of Paul, and she was baptized in all her house. You know what happened right there at that moment? Lydia became the first European ever saved by Christ in the record. Now, just a little bit of reminder here. Most of our roots are from Europe, and the roots of our Christianity is from Europe. And this is modern day Greece, part of Europe. Lydia was the first European saved. Hallelujah. The first of many. Why? Lydia allowed the Lord to open her heart. And today we're sitting in this church, converted with a history in the Europe, because Lydia opened up her heart to the Lord. Wouldn't God save someone else? Well, He might have. But that person would have been the Lydia that opened their heart to the Lord. She was the first. Amen. The first of many. And you know she got saved because she asked the preacher home for lunch. And that's what she did. And she said, you know, you're here, you're strange to town. Amen. Won't you come home and you can stay in my house? And I can't remember right. I know there was Paul and Luke and Timothy. I don't know how many there were in the missionary party, but she opened up her house and gave them a place of lodging and sleep. And amen. What I like is they didn't close the prayer meeting. They kept it going. Even Lydia got saved. Those other ladies got saved. And they kept going to prayer. Oh, the devil, he'll always fight, as we preach this morning. But you see, there were some men that found out that this little teenage girl had an evil spirit in her. And that evil spirit was able, through deception, to give a fortune, to fortune tell, to tell supposed prophecies about people and tell people's fortune. And they would take her to the marketplace to make money off her. No doubt just a slave to those men. Not only in bondage to an evil spirit, but in slavery to those men who would make merchandise of her. But she knew there was something different about Paul and Silas and those others that were with her, Luke. And she began to follow them and say, these men are the servants of the Most High that are going to preach to you the way of salvation. She had it right. Amen. But it was coming from the evil spirit. Amen. You know, it's something that the evil spirits recognize the presence of God sometimes before God's people do. And she got to bothering that missionary team. And she got to be a nuisance. But Paul practiced patience, something the church has to do sometimes when you have those situations. I don't know how long it went on, but it was a long period of time where she followed them and aggravated them and disturbed things. But Paul practiced patience. But there came a day that was the day of that damsel's being set free. And Paul turned to her and spoke to the Spirit and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her and loose her and let her go. And that little damsel was set free. Why? Because Lydia opened up her heart and heard the new word of God. Devil was mad. Those men said, there went our means of income. Went and stirred up a mob. Got a hold of the authorities. And the Bible said the authorities took Paul and Silas, stripped their clothes right off of them, and beat them with many stripes. Woo! I'm open to a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm open to running the aisles. I'm open to healings. I'm open to folks getting saved. And they beat them with many stripes. I'm not open to that. I'm telling you, those folks were open to whatever God had, even if it was suffering. And they beat them with many stripes, and the magistrates took them to the jailer and said, these are some horrible criminals. You're really going to have to watch them. These are dangerous men. Hallelujah. Satan knows who's dangerous to his kingdom. Amen. And he said to the jailer, do everything you can to keep these from escaping. He said, oh, I will. He led them, Brother Rose, to the deepest part of that dungeon. And he didn't just put them behind bars. The Bible said he put their feet, their legs, in stocks. I've read some about those places, damp and fungus and mold and roaches and rats and all kinds of stuff and mud. Can't hardly breathe in those places. They got them down there. And you know, a lot, I can't preach on that. That's another story. A lot of things could have happened. But the Bible said about midnight, Paul said, well, don't we have a prayer meeting? And they got to praying. And then they got to praising. I was thinking today, sometimes I heard this story. Amen. A lot of times the prayer part skipped over and they just get right to where Paul and Silas was singing praise, because it's easier to sing praise than it is to pray and really pray, isn't it? But before they ever sang a song, Brother Brian, they prayed. I believe they prayed. And then they began to sing. They began to sing praises unto the Lord right from that prison, right from that dungeon, right in that darkness, right in that problem, right in that trouble, right in that valley, right in that difficulty, right in that place where the bills were piled up, right in that place where they didn't know what they was going to do, right in the place and it looked like there was no hope. They were singing praise. And the Bible said, and I know we had the Haitian earthquake, and can't call that to mind. But God could even use an earthquake to His glory. The Bible said the Lord sent an earthquake, and it shook the bondage off their legs, and it opened the prison door, not just for Paul and Silas, but for the whole prison. And the Bible said that the jailer woke up and called for a light. He was fearful, and all of a sudden Paul shouted out, amen, as the jailer took the sword and was going to fall on it and take his life. Amen. Paul hollered out, "Don't take your life." I always wondered how Paul saw that. It doesn't indicate that he had come to the place the jailer was. Maybe so. I've always wondered if the Holy Spirit didn't just tell Paul what the jailer was about to do. But he hollered out, "Don't take your life. We are all here." And the jailer called for a light. And the Bible said he sprang in there. He was in a hurry to get in there. And he looked around, and there's Paul and Silas. You think they were singing praise before the shackles fell off. Can you imagine what they were singing then? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he knew that something had happened in that jail cell. I'm telling you, it can still happen in your dungeon. It can still happen in your cell. Hallelujah. You know what the jailer did, Sister Cruz? He fell down and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Even everything else I say, you remember this. That's why we need to be open to the moving of the Spirit. Because when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move on God's people, it won't be long till the unbeliever and the backslidden and the unsaved are going to be falling down and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and all thy house, and you shall be saved." And the man believed, and the same hour, amen, he took Paul and Silas and washed their wounds and was baptized. I wonder if it was in the same water, amen, that he washed their wounds. He was baptized. He believed. Hallelujah. And revival came to Philippi. Why? Lydia opened her heart, allowed the Lord to open her heart, and the revival began. I believe revival can begin when folks begin to open up their heart to what God wants to do. Well, hallelujah, you can't read Acts without getting excited. And so the question that begs to be answered, is my heart open to the Lord? Would you come, music? I'm a refill person. When I go to a restaurant, I'll drink 3, 4 or more glasses. And some of those places, you know, they put that old lid on there, and you got to go up there and get your refill. What's the first thing you got to do if you're going to get a refill? You got to take the lid off. I know that's so simple, brother, but I'm telling you, it's true spiritually. If you need a refill, start by letting God take the lid off and just be open to what He wants to do in your life. Could you stand across the building? Lord, help us to be open to a new thing. Lord, we do get stuck in a rut, riveted in our ways. We do become open to everything else except what You want to do. We thank You for the way You've been moving. God, we're seeking You for revival. We're seeking You for the salvation of the lost. God, help us to open up our hearts to You in Christ's name. In Christ's name. If you want a heart that's open to the Lord, would you come right now and begin to fill these altars? Say, "God, open up my heart. Open up my mind. Open up my life to what You want to do." Would you? This between you and the Lord, no one else. Amen. Would you be open tonight? Be open to what God wants to do in your life tonight. I'm open to it, Lord.